Friends and fellow entrepreneurs, you are about to enter into a world that will change your life forever. You are about to access an unlimited vault of information, the hidden silo of content, and finally get the keys to unlock supernatural levels of success. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Secrets Podcast with Femi Dormosh. So ladies and gentlemen, we are officially live and I'm super excited. Once again, this is the Entrepreneur Secrets Podcast and I have a very amazing guest. So I'm gonna lead off with the energy and enthusiasm to match this master communicator over here. If you're looking to build powerful connections, understanding how to network with others. Standing in front of us right now, we have an amazing ghostwriter, faith-based targeting influencers, thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and executives, a 2019 international bestseller, author of Business Beyond Business, another master communicator and fellow podcaster, and my friend, let's welcome Paul Edwards from Influencer Networking Secrets to the Entrepreneur Secrets Podcast. Welcome, my good friend, Paul.
I'm so good to be here. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm happy to have you. I think like there's so much value that we can kind of like pump out here. And I think the best way for us to really dive into this interview is just letting the viewers, the listeners out there really know like who's Paul Edwards? Who is this amazing guy who's a master communicator, ghostwriter, copywriter, author? Who are you? Who's Paul?
Yeah, well, and the longer I do this, the more I put the ghost back in ghostwriting, because the more I disappear and take myself, my face and my my need to pump myself up out of the equation, the greater my influence gets, which is a wonderful thing. So, but anyway, to give just a little bit of background. I've been a career writer probably since the age of 8. I saw my father writing his memoirs one day and I stopped to watch what he was doing. And I, funnily enough, it just, the idea really caught fire with me. And I decided at 8 years old, I was going to write my own memoirs. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out too well. I didn't really have anything to memorialize just yet, but it was a seed that got planted that has never really died off on me. So a number of careers, a number of jobs, a number of, I've lived in 5 different countries. I hold 3 different passports. So I speak 2 different languages. Those are my fun little things to say at parties. But what it all came down to was I went through a long stretch in the property casualty insurance business where I learned that I had to sell something nobody wanted to talk about and nobody wanted to buy. Mm. But they had to buy it because it's required by law, at least where I live it is. And so as a result, I quickly figured out whatever I've got to sell them, it's not the product. Right. There's something else they want to buy because they do buy. So what is it? And that started the journey of discovering that they were really buying me.
Wow.
And so the more I understood that piece by piece over many years, the more I adapted my marketing strategy to becoming a very in demand sort of type of product, I guess you would say, in the form of somebody you can trust and rely on and who knows their stuff and who communicates well and who has value to add besides just looking after this important piece of your financial portfolio. And when that ended in 2018, I decided to write a book about it, which set me on this new course to discover that I had this wonderful career as a ghostwriter in me all along and just had never got around to using it.
Wow. So it's interesting. Cause like, I think what we should probably highlight is we met roughly about 2 years ago. right? Like we met roughly about 2 years ago, and we were at like the beginning stages of our brands and building, you know, at that time I was strictly focusing on the health and fitness studio, right? Health and fitness coaching, that was my arena. And you had this vision of connecting with others, right? So I kind of want to dive into that thought process. Like, why did you start dabbling into networking and realizing that that might've been one of your gifts to dial into?
Well, what happened was the longer I worked in the insurance business, the more I found myself in rooms I had no business being in, talking to people I had no business talking to. And I couldn't quite figure out why, but I was like, you know, this doesn't happen to other people at the same rate it happens to me. Now, I know it does happen to other people. I'm not saying I was the only person, but I said, I'm getting this happening every couple of weeks. I'm getting invited to things nobody I know in networking gets invited to. I'm getting put in front of military generals and CEOs and powerful politicians in very private, intimate settings where I can have lengthy conversations with them. Whereas those same people, most of the people they see, it's, you know, a handshake, hi, how are you? And that's probably about it. And I said, you know, there's got to be something to this. This can't just be that a bunch of people like the way I part my hair. I don't know what it is. But it's not that simple. And I didn't understand, you know, there's some things you can chalk up to personality type.
Yep.
Right. And I can't see myself, so I don't know what air I give off to people, but I know that consistently it was an air that they received that they said, I can plug this person into this room.
Wow.
They communicate an essence. Maybe it's even subconsciously, they're not even consciously thinking about it. So by the time you and I caught up, I was used to meeting people of the caliber of Vince Del Monte and Craig Ballantyne, and finding ways that I could add value to them. It wasn't a foreign concept to me, even though I was a guppy and they were playing with the big sharks type of thing. I wasn't intimidated by them. I didn't have to be told necessarily. One of the ways that I really got on Vince's radar was by following the advice I write about in my book, which is, look, you know, there's these people need things, and you, even if you're flat broke, can give it to them. So that's what I had been doing by the time I got to that mastermind meeting in New York City, and it's what I continued to do. And eventually I discovered, yes, there actually is a way you can monetize that. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's not something I would tell you go out and do don't quit your day job if you're going to do this, right?
Yeah.
But you will get to a point where you can say, I don't need the day job because all I got to do is make one deal. Right. And I'll eat for a year off of it.
There's something you said that I kind of want to chime into earlier. You talked about value, right? Once you're increasing your value and your connection to somebody, that person that you're networking or sharing a connection with sees your value, or there's an exchange in value. So how did you realize you had something to give the influencers that you're connecting with, even up to date, even just everyday people that you're like, you know what, there can be an exchange there. Like, how did you know? Like, at what point were you like, there's something unique here?
I'll give you two answers to that. One is that I come from a background, not the way I was raised so much, but particularly since my faith became a strong central thing in my life. I was really drawn to the whole concept of radical generosity. Because I was not raised in the kingdom of God and was instead grafted in at the age of 22 from a lifestyle that was utter hatred of God and contempt for humanity and a degraded mind, to have come back from all of that, I always was struck by the fact that I felt I was particularly despicable.
Hmm.
If you look at it on a purely human level.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the concept of radical generosity was like, anytime I heard something about it or heard someone talk about it, I wanted to know more. And so when I come into business, right, I'm thinking, okay, there's one thing I can tell that most people in this room are not doing right now, and that's being obscenely generous, right? Most people are walking into it thinking, okay, how can I make a sale? How can I, how can I make me happy, right?
Yep, yep.
But I subscribe to a faith that says that the pathway to happiness is to be obsessed with the needs of God's other children and let him take care of yours. So that's the sort of the philosophical thing coming into it. The other side of this was I had just done this so many times, right? I tell people in my book, focus on the farm team. So I wasn't doing this. I didn't all of a sudden show up to Vince unprepared. I had been doing it for people nobody's ever heard of for years before I found Vince's fitness products and then joined his Facebook group and then started promoting the hell out of him on Facebook so that he comes on my podcast one day and says, you're my biggest unpaid promoter, you know? And I said, yeah, you'll get my bill in the mail.
That's interesting. So what you started doing to really kind of hold on to this concept of value was find something you believe in, find something, someone, a brand, a product, whatever it was that you really believe in that had value to you, that you saw value in or you believe value in, invested your time, your energy, your money into that thing or that person, and then promoted that. That's kind of how you created that exchange, especially when we're talking about Vince. And we're talking about Vince Del Monte. Shout out Vince at the same time so you know who we're talking about out there.
But hey.
So here's where I wanted to go, right? You talked about the connection of generosity, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about value, right? And I think when an individual talks about networking, there are so many definitions of it. How would you define networking to you?
Well, actually, I want to define value, if you don't mind, Femi.
Yeah.
I think that's a vague, overused term, and a lot of people hear it and they're really not sure what it means.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a real simple illustration that has really helped my 11 and 9-year-old sons. So the neighborhood we live in, obviously, we've got our own version of lockdown here, or had it, and it's sort of stuck in limbo right now. We're not really sure what way it's going to go. But they, obviously, as they get older, have certain material wants that neither me nor their mother are willing to pay for on a routine basis. And so they came to us and they said, what do we do? We want to get this, but we don't have any money. And I said, well, you got to go out and earn the money. And they didn't really understand. So I said, okay, you see the lawnmower out in the garage? And my younger son said, uh-huh. I said, okay, I want you to take it with you, walk down the street and knock on a door and volunteer to mow the neighbor's lawns. And don't ask them for any money, just volunteer to mow their neighbor's lawns. And so he did. And he came back with $75.
Wow.
Now, what does that mean for value? Okay. I once they came back and they'd done it enough times, I sat them down. I said, okay, when you volunteered to do that, you know you didn't ask for money. And they said, uh-huh. I said, but you got it anyway. Why do you think you got it? And they said, because we cut the grass. I said, no, you didn't cut the grass. You placed a value on that adult's time, effort, sweat, drudgery, they don't want to do it, injury, they got a bad back, whatever, right? You placed a value on something that mattered to them. That's why they paid you for it. You have pleased another one of God's children, so you get compensated.
That's big.
So you asked me what, you know, the definition of networking, because it's exactly the same thing. That's why most people are turned off by networking, because most people who show up at networking are not placing a value on the other people in the room. They're placing a value on themselves.
Yeah. I'll kind of tell you a funny story. So when I was younger, I mean, maybe like 16, 17, I remember going to these networking events with my father. Like I'd be showing up to these events. I'm like 16, 17 years, and I'm in the room with like 30, 40, 50-year-old individuals with my 16-year-old self. And I remember walking into the room not knowing what to do. And one thing that really struck me is I remember every individual in that room seemed like they wanted something. They didn't seem like they wanted to provide anything, which was really interesting. At like 16, 17, I noticed this, not providing value, not educating, not helping, but trying to convert. You mentioned this earlier, trying to convert a sale, trying to take something from somebody else instead of figuring out how to help somebody else. So I think your story of your son randomly knocking on a door, asking somebody, "Hey, can I mow your lawn? I'll volunteer my time, my energy to do this." The exchange of value for that person is actually what you're looking for. So I think that kind of fits perfectly into the other question. Why did you choose to go the route of influencer networking? Why that route? Like, why was Paul Edwards thinking like, you know what? I gotta implement this strategy over here.
Well, to put it quite bluntly, I'm very big on not doing stupid over and over again. And when I got into the insurance business, right, obviously the implication is you're an insurance salesman, so your job is to sell, right? So I start, the first job I had was dialing for dollars, and it was exhausting. It was grueling because we didn't have to pay for the leads, but we had to call them and call them and call them, and it was just a never-ending hamster wheel. Now, we did pretty well, right? Because we were very, very diligent and thorough, but at the end of the day, it was the old convince and persuade hard sell. Now, I'm not begrudging that because I think there are actually people out there who are very, very talented at that. I'm just not one of them. I can tell very easily, even on the phone, based on what I hear on the other end of the conversation, even more so in person, when someone doesn't like what I'm doing. Right? And that matters to me. It's not that I'm like, oh, I want everybody to like me. I'm not like that, but I'm just like, I can see I'm offending you needlessly, right? So when I come to my second job and they told me, no, you need to be out of this office networking. So I start going to these events, and in the first couple of weeks, right, I'm just trying to do what I've always done, trying to sell, 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 and nobody's buying and people are avoiding me. And I'm like, and I know I'm a big guy and I'm just out of the military and I've got it's kind of an intense stare and all that kind of thing, but I was just like, I don't understand it because I'm not the only insurance salesman in the room, and there's other insurance salespeople, and they seem to do just fine. So what's the disconnect? And very quickly, I figured out that you have to sell according to type, meaning you have to know who you are, right? And I'm no Grant Cardone, right? I just that's not how I operate. So. But what did happen? So then I would get up and do educational talks, right? So there was an event, end of 2012, the United States Congress passed this law. It was going to change the rules regarding federal flood insurance program. And the trickle-down effect of that was that realtors who had transactions pending in flood zones were suddenly going to lose them because the flood insurance was going to go from like $1,000 a year to $10,000 a year. Right. And the buyers couldn't afford that. So I chose to get up and do an educational talk about this. I asked for them to let me say, yeah, we'd love for you to do that. So I got up and did the talk about it. And all of a sudden, three or four people came up after me. Thanks so much. That was so helpful. That was really valuable. I didn't know that was happening at all. And I got a few clients out of it. And I'm like, that was different. Right. So that getting up and doing and being influential, right? Giving useful information, teaching application, not just information, teaching marketing, teaching speaking, teaching how to approach things, how to play the long game, how to soft sell, how not to be an obnoxious, overbearing salesperson. People just like, oh, sign me up, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And by extension, they already knew what I did. So when it came time that they were thinking, oh, my insurance agent just went out of business or got fired or left, or I don't like the guy or whatever it was. Wait a minute. I know Paul Edwards. I network with him every week, and you know, I just sort of soaked it up.
Wow. There was something that I remember in kind of like the earlier stages in business that I really implemented, which I think ties into that same concept, like being top of mind. You know, mm-hmm. top of mind marketing. And it's just for all the listeners, all the viewers out there. You know, if you're providing value to someone every single day, you know, whether it's every day or every week, you're frequently providing value, you remain at that person's top of mind, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're at that individual's top of mind, just kind of like what Paul said, at any moment, anything can change. And that can go into your favor, that you can actually get that client, get that content, or get that contact that you're looking for to really help you build your network. So here's my question for you. What strategies have you seen produce the most amount of results in creating powerful contacts and networks?
Well, this is a great opportunity to do a lengthy treatise on my book, but I think I'm better off summarizing it. And you know, if you hear something that really piques your interest, that would probably be a good way to turning point to go into a specifics. First of all, what we've been talking about up until now is largely the summary of the first chapter, which I call "Be a Magnet, Not a Pusher." Hmm. So magnetism is a scientific physical reality, but it has a spiritual parallel.
Hmm.
And just like two magnets that collide, if you put the positive to the positive and the negative to the negative, they repel each other.
Yep.
But if you flip one of them over, they lock up together.
Yep.
What that's saying, what that tells me in the spiritual is, oh, no wonder I get approached by introverts, right? Mm. Who are kind of a little shy about networking, and you know, they're there, they're trying their best, but they don't really know what to say or how to say it. And I'm this more extroverted guy who gets up and gives a talk and all that. No wonder I attract those kind of people. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect, of course, is the degree to which you go into these situations prepared. But I said I wasn't going to do a deep dive, so I'll hold off on that for a minute.
Yeah.
second part is pro bono publicity, which is what we're doing right now, right? We're conducting an interview. So you could get in your Facebook group and just say, hey, what a great guy Femi Dole Marshall is, or you can share your network with your network. And say, here's somebody you should listen to, right? It's a wonderful thing for me. I'm trying to get on as many interviews as I can because I've got a book coming out, right? And it's a wonderful thing for you because you can show, you know, where you're getting a lot of useful information and who you're masterminding with, and share that information and that application with your audience.
Yeah.
And there's more besides that. You were asking some tactical level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have this chapter called How to Network with Dream Connections, which sounds really cool, right? It said, oh, this is what you're supposed to do when you're in front of a bigwig. Actually, it's what you're supposed to do when you're in front of everybody.
Wow.
And that's how, if you do it enough times in front of the people who are quote unquote nobodies, then when you run into somebody who is a quote unquote somebody, you know what to do.
Well, I actually like you to dive into that topic because I think that will really resonate with a lot of the listeners out there and a lot of the ES members. Like I'm curious. I want to kind of hear your perspective on that strategy and that approach.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the first thing I tell people, I've got two different sort of summarizing bullets of it. The one is I tell people be a scout, be a therapist. And I've forgotten it. I haven't done this one in a while, but, and be a publicist, scout, publicist, and therapist, right? So scouts, right? If you're in athletics, scouts go and find talent.
Yep.
Right. And they bring talent. What I'm talking about there is go and find opportunities and people and events and prospects, definitely, if you can, and bring them to the people you want to do business with. No strings attached. I don't want anything. I just thought you should know this person. Right. Wow. This is where I've started to monetize the strategic partnerships that bring one person A over here to person B, who's looking for person A, put the two of them together and I get paid on the back end. It's a wonderful thing.
Wow.
But that's an example of being a scout. Being a publicist is going in the other direction. That's taking person B and putting them on blast, right? And saying, going and doing an interview of them on your podcast or on your Facebook page, or, you know, if you have a trade publication or some means of publicizing your network, then publicize them, right? Instead of publicizing yourself. And the third part of this is be a counselor. And what I mean by that, or therapist, and I don't literally mean, you know, sit them to make them lie down on the sofa and say, tell me about your problems.
Yeah.
But Vince gave me this powerful list of three questions, which I got them from him 2017. I've been using them ever since, and I've never seen them fail. And so when I meet someone, especially if I have no prior relationship or not much acquaintance with them, I'm able to drop at least two, if not all three of these into a good value rich conversation. And they're questions that elicit from the person you're speaking to a three-dimensional character. So in networking, a lot of people are one-dimensional, right? That's why they ask you the same boring question every time you show up.
Yeah.
Hi, what do you do?
Yep.
What's new? I've already told you that last week, and we're connected on Facebook, so you already know, right?
Yep.
No wonder people are bored by it, but I come into it, and the way I look at people is they're living, breathing stories.
Yep.
I'm focused on the invisible, the stuff that no one else sees about them. And so that's what these questions were, because Vince said, what's going well for you lately, right? So that's your past, your recent history. What in the last 3 weeks has really been picking up for you? Have you had wins? What's keeping you going, right? Then he said, what's not going so well for you lately? So that's the present, right? That's what's the hardest part, the biggest pain point, the toughest challenge you're trying to overcome. And then you round that out with, what are you looking forward to? What's in the future, right? What exciting things can you still see on the horizon that you'll just keep pushing on through till you get there? That's treating human beings three-dimensionally, like a living, breathing story, because that's what they are.
I think that that is a very deep way of looking at a relationship. And I'm kind of pulling on the reboot concept, right? For my reboot book, I talk a lot about family and relationships. And I think if somebody really looks at networking as you're growing your contacts and you're building better relationships with people, you actually care about that individual when you're asking these types of questions. So I think even if I go back to that same experience when I was 16, 17 in those networking events, if you look at an individual as a human being, you can actually build better connection and increase value for that person. So thank you for that. Now here's my follow-up question for you. Okay. Out of those three strategies, which one you found was most successful for you? And it's going to be different for every person. That's the truth. I know that. But for you, which one?
Well, I would say that the counselor part, because I am naturally, you know, I know myself a lot better than I used to.
Yeah.
And there is a strong counselor streak in me. I don't want to do it as a profession. I'm not interested in listening to people who are suicidal and stuff like that. But I have a very strong curiosity. What makes that person tick? Why are they the way they are? And I'm, you know, do I get that deep with those three questions? No, but I get deeper than anybody else in the room does, because everybody else is saying, hey, my name is, what do you do? Right?
Yep. Superficial.
Superficial.
Yep.
Not intentionally. They're not shallow. They don't understand that they're competing with 50 other people in the room who are also saying, hey, how are you doing? My name is, what do you do? Right? Yep. So it's white noise. So I would say the counselor part, and here's the test, Fem. When I ask that middle question, what's not going so well for you, or what's the hardest part of you being you right now, people will talk for days. And I'm not saying that I'm being manipulative in this. I'm just saying the upside of this is that I have a giant Rolodex in my head of people and companies and situations and opportunities that can solve those problems. Yep. So when they come to me and I say, what's the hardest part of being you right now? And they start talking. I'm just sitting back there, you know, I know someone who can fix that. Yep. I know someone who can fix that. Yep. I know someone who deals with that. Right. Yep. The whole time. And then, and I tell, you know, one other part of that strategy is you've got to think, if you're, rather than think like a salesperson, you've got to think like a journalist. Now, don't take I'm not talking muckraking journalism, and I'm not talking gotcha politics journalism. We're talking about TV interviewer journalism, people who are curious about other people.
Yeah.
So think Oprah Winfrey, Howard Stern, you know, people who are really, really good at getting the gold out of people.
Yeah.
And you go and you just keep digging when they tell you that. And that the more curiosity you exude and the more detail you get out of them, the more you get. I've heard Dean Graziosi talk about this before, like seven levels deep with them, right? That's where the gold is.
There's something I want to actually add on to that. I was having a conversation with a lady just about like last week, and we were chatting about understanding others. So I'm going to share that same quote that I said to her. I said, before you learn to listen to others, you have to learn to listen to yourself. So if you're expecting to understand what another person needs, you have to first know what you need so you can grow and help more people. And we've had some really deep conversations on that same topic. So I think like you sharing that same perspective of you developing yourself allowed you to tap into the counselor therapist area of an influencer. You can create that connection and help more people. So just even anything else you want to add on that topic, because I think you hit the nail on that one.
Yeah, well, to sort of piggyback off of what you're pointing out there, Fem, that is that I always had the quick solution when people when it used to be a random thing, right? People would mention a pain point and I'm like, oh, I know. And that's sort of like kindergarten level knowledge, which is better than not knowing what anyone at all who can help them.
Yeah.
Don't misunderstand. But you can't move that fast, because if you do, people just back off, right? They don't really know you. They don't get that investment from you getting a better understanding of their internal life. You're right. What I don't want the listener or the viewer to get from this is that all I got to do is ask these questions and bingo, I'm going to be a millionaire. No,
yeah.
No, you have to ask the questions and then you have to keep asking the questions. Right. I'm just telling you what turns the faucet on.
Yep.
If you don't know what to do when that faucet starts dripping, starts pouring water all over you, you're just, the best you can do at that point is just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
And it takes some practice. It takes some practice to hear something that they say and not try to one up it or come back at it or any number of things, right? You've got to sit there and almost not say anything and listen intently. Maybe if you say anything, you emphasize something in particular that they said. It takes a lot of practice. And the only reason I know this is because I screwed it up so many times, right? I said, I'm not going to communicate that way anymore. That's a lousy way to communicate. I could have done way better with that, and I know it.
Wow. That's deep. That's good. So here's my next question for you. A successful podcast, best-selling book, an amazingly awesome family. What's next, Paul?
Well, we got what is to become my next best-selling book. That's one thing that's coming out in September. That is called Influencer Networking Secrets. And you know, I haven't really talked about this. It's infancy stages, but I've recently been challenged by my mentor to come up with a vision for what we're calling Come As You Will Be in 2023. Mm. And so I'm busy doing my first 12-week cycle of that. I use the 12-week year by Brian Moran, and I'm sketching out all of that. Like, who am I going to be personally? Who am I going to be professionally? Who am I going to be in the kingdom, right? Where's my business? The business plan is a interwoven business and ministry type of thing that's going to come out. So all of that's coming. That's quite a bit in the future. But in the meantime, just plugging away at ghostwriting and now beginning to monetize some of these strategic partnerships I've been building, and laying groundwork and putting out a new book.
I like that. Now these are probably my favorite final questions we're going to dive into. Okay. Now I want you to just get present, be in state. You know, all the listeners, I want you to hear Paul's answers to this. Okay. What does success look like to you as an entrepreneur?
What does success look like to me as an entrepreneur? Better and better, but not necessarily more.
Huh. I like that. Okay. I'm going to leave that point. We're going to go into it deeper, okay? So what does success look like to you as Paul Edwards?
Redeemed, restored, renewed, and I'm trying to think of a good word for memorable without sounding egotistical. Heavy, heavy impact. In a way that alters the direction of a life that was previously going down a path that, you know, may not have been malevolent or anything, but it was, but they were bound to get hit hard.
Okay, here's the last one. What's the success look like to you for your copywriting clients?
Movement. Not always financial, but a lot of it is. What I've had relayed to me, this is a funny story. Funny, not funny like ha ha funny, just funny the way God works. I have a client in Australia, and they brought me on to see what I could do with their writing, which, without going into details or disclosing, I'll just say that the writing was not pathetic. It was just lukewarm, right? It was not where it could be. And inauthentic as a result, because of course you've got multiple different kinds of people there in this organization. And they're also trying to reach this target client. And if you, and it's the same old problem we were just talking about, it's surface level stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I start writing, and it's gripping, right? I know how to write words that grab your attention and say, keep reading this. This is compelling. This is interesting. Who writes like this? Who has this kind of thoughts going on in their heads?
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm doing this, and they asked me for an email that they had to send out as part of it. They'd done some kind of supporting a charitable drive. And so I rewrote it, and they said, well, we love what you wrote here, but we actually need it to be much closer to the original. Okay, they sent it back to me. I redid it with the original, but made the original go better. There was some kind of technical issue. Because what had happened was this charitable group had worked in partnership with, like, I don't know, probably 50 different radio stations or 50 different organizations, I should say, around the world. And my email suddenly became the template for all 50 of those organizations going out as a thing.
Wow.
I don't know how it happened. I'm watching this. I'm like, I don't. That's God. That's not how it happens.
Wow. Sometimes I think that's probably the other thing I wanted to share. When it comes to creating connections, when it comes to growing a brand, growing a business, when it comes to evolution in any aspect of your life, sometimes things just happen you can't explain. You know, and I'll kind of just chalk it up to grace and mercy and blessings. And, you know, you want to be in favor. And those are the things you can't really control. But you know that if you're acting with a good heart and you're taking action, those things tend to flow in the right direction. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wind it down. But I want to thank you for being here. And the biggest thing I always ask anybody who's been on the podcast, anybody who's been on one of our lives, for those tuning in that want to get in contact with you, how can they, Paul?
We have a special page we've actually created just for the members of Entrepreneur Secrets. So you can go to thepaulsimonedwards.com. /entrepreneur secrets. And when you go there, if you decide you'd like to be a part of my mailing list, you can get either a free hard copy. All we ask for that is that you pay shipping, or a free digital copy of Influencer Networking Secrets, the book, which is due out in September. And so that's the best way to do it. I'm also on all the social media channels, the Paul S. Edwards, that's my handle. So if you want to reach out to me that way, you're more than welcome to.
That's big. And just to recap, those of you that were listening, all of the gems you dropped into building powerful connections, that's in the book. So he's not randomly throwing stuff out there. The book is there for you to get all the stuff we talked about and so much more. So is there anything else you want to share with the ES listeners?
It's been a privilege being here. I would like to tell the ES listeners a little bit about their host, who I'm just immensely happy for, proud of, and grateful for your friendship. You know, I don't get to, I should tell you this more often, and I don't. You bring a lot of joy into my life. The older I get, to the privilege of, you know, speaking into men who are chronologically younger than me, the young men I mentor here and all that. It's one of the happiest things, one of the happiest gifts God has ever given me. Hmm. And your audience should know the good hands they're in, the heart of the one who's leading this movement. They should know, he has faced down his giants, and he will continue to face them down. And not only that, but he's going to knock them down as well. And I know, cause I've already watched him do it. Wow. So, most grateful for your friendship, my friend, and very, very proud of you. And all the best to the Entrepreneur Secrets community. It was a blast being on with you.
Thank you, Paul. And we look forward to having you again soon, okay?
My pleasure.
And that's it for today. Definitely, if you loved this episode, feel free to like, share, and follow for our next upcoming podcast. Besides that, feel free to grab a copy of my newest best-selling book, Reboot, The Path to Personal Breakthrough, at myrebootbook.com. Your transformation awaits.